day 67 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to the Hebrew Bible, reading Joshua 12 through 14. The kings conquered by Moses. Now these are the kings of the land whom the Israelites defeated, whose land they occupied beyond the Jordan toward the east, from the Wadi Arnon to Mount Hermon, with all the Arabah eastward. King Sihon of the Amorites, who lived at Heshbon and ruled over Aroer, which is on the edge of the Wadi Arnon, and from the middle of the valley as far as the Wadi Jabbok, the boundary of the Ammonites, that is, half of Gilead, and the Arabah to the Sea of Chinneroth eastward, and in the direction of Beth Jeshimoth to the Sea of the Arabah, the Dead Sea, southward to the foot of the slopes of Pisgah, and King Og of Bashan, one of the last of the Rephaim, who lived in Ashtaroth at Edrei, and ruled over Mount Hermon and Seleka and all Bashan to the boundary of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and over half of the Gilead to the boundary of King Sihon and of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the Israelites defeated them, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave their land for a possession to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. The kings conquered by Joshua. Following are the kings of the land whom Joshua and the Israelites defeated on the west side of the Jordan, from Baal-gad in the valley of Lebanon to Mount Halak, which rises towards Seir. And Joshua gave their land to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their allotments, in the hill country, in the lowland, in the Arabah, in the slopes, in the wilderness, and in the Negeb, and the land of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. The king of Jericho won, the king of Ai, which is the next to Bethel, won. The king of Jerusalem won. The king of Hebron won. The king of Jarmuth won. The king of Lachish won. The king of Eglon won. The king of Gezer won. The king of Debir won. The king of Gedar won. The king of Hormah won. The king of Arad won. The king of Libnah won. The king of Adullam won. The king of Mekedah won. The king of Bethel won. The king of Tapua won. The king of Hefer won. The king of Aphek won. The king of Lasharon won. The king of Madon won. The king of Hazor won. The king of Shimron Meron won. The king of Akshaps won. The king of Tanakh won. The king of Megiddo won. The king of Kadesh won. The king of Jokneam and Carmel won. The king of Dor and Naphtor Dor won. The king of Goyim and Galilee won. The king of Tirzah won. 31 kings in all. The parts of Canaan still unconquered. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land still remains to be possessed. This is the land that still remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites, from the Sihor, which is near Egypt, northwards to the boundary of Ekron. It is reckoned as Canaanite. There are five rulers of Philistines, those of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, and those of Avim in the south, all the land of the Canaanites and the Merah that belonged to the Sidonians, to Aphek, to the boundary of the Amorites, and the land of the Gebelites and all Lebanon towards the east, from Galgad below Mount Hermon to Lebo Hamath, all the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon to Misrapoth Maim, even all the Sidonians. I will myself drive them out from before the Israelites, only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and the half tribes of Manasseh, the territory east of the Jordan. With the other half tribe of Manasseh and the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance, which Moses gave them, beyond the Jordan eastward, as Moses the servant of the Lord gave them. From Aroer, which is on the edge of the Wadi Arnon, and the town that is in the middle of the valley, and all the tableland from Medeba as far as Dabon, and all the cities of King Sihon of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, as far as the boundary of the Ammonites and Gilead and the region of the Geshurites and the Maacathites and all Mount Hermon and all Bashan and all Selica, all the kingdom of Og and Bashan who reigned in Ashtaroth and in Edrei, he alone was left of the survivors of the Rephaim. These Moses had defeated and driven out. Yet the Israelites did not drive out the Geshurites or the Maacathites, but Geshur and Maacath lived with Israel to this day. To the tribe of Levi alone, Moses gave no inheritance. The offerings by fire to the Lord God of Israel are their inheritance, as he said to them. The territory of Reuben. Moses gave an inheritance to the tribe of the Reubenites according to their families. Their territory was from Aroer, which is on the edge of the Wadi Arnon, and the town that is in the middle of the valley, and all the tableland by Medeba, with Heshbon and all the town, its towns that are in the tableland, Dibon and Bamoth Baal and Beth Baal Meon, and Jahaz and Kedemoth and Mephthoth, and Kerathim and Sibmam and Zereth Shahar on the hill of the valley, Beth Peor and the slopes of Pisgah and Beth Jeshimoth, that is all the towns of the tableland and all the kingdom of King Sihon and the Amorites who reigned in Heshbon, who Moses defeated with the leaders of Midian, Evi and Rekem and Zur and Hur and Reba as princes of Sihon and lived in the land. Along with the rest of those they put to death, the Israelites also put to the sword Balaam, son of Beor, who practiced divination. And the border of the Reubenites was the Jordan and its banks. This was the inheritance of the Reubenites according to their families, with their towns and villages. The territory of Gad. Moses gave an inheritance also to the tribes of the Gadites according to their families. Their territory was Jazer and all the towns of Gilead and half the land of the Amorites to Aroer, which is near Rabbah, and from Heshbon to Ramath Mizpah and Betonim, and from Mahanaim to the territory of Debir, and in the valley Beth Haram, Beth Nimrah, Succoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of King Sihon and Heshbon, the Jordan and its banks, as far as the lower end of the Sea of Chinnereth, eastward beyond the Jordan. This is the inheritance of the Gadites according to their families with their towns and villages. The territory of the half tribe of Manasseh, east. Moses gave an inheritance to the half tribe of Manasseh. It was allotted to the half tribe of the Manassites according to their families. Their territory extended from Mahanaim through the Bashan, the whole kingdom of King Og of Bashan, and all the settlements of Jer, which are in Bashan, 60 towns, and half of Gilead, and Ashtaroth and Edrei, the towns of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. These were allotted to the people of Machir, son of Manasseh, according to their families, for half the Machirites. These are the inheritance that Moses distributed in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho. But to the tribes of Levi, Moses gave no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel is their inheritance, as he said to them. The distribution of territory west of the Jordan. These are the inheritances that the Israelites received in the land of Canaan, which is the priest Eleazar and Joshua, son of Nun, and the heads of the families of the tribes of the Israelites distributed to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord had commanded Moses for the 9 1/2 tribes. For Moses had given an inheritance to the 2 1/2 tribes beyond the Jordan, but to the Levites he gave no inheritance among them. For the people of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and no portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only towns to live in, with their pasture lands for their flocks and herds. The Israelites did as the Lord had commanded Moses. They allotted the land. Hebron allotted to Caleb. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh and Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him an honest report. But my companions who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. And now you see the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel was journeying through the wilderness. And here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong as I was on the day that Moses sent me. My strength is now as my strength was then, for war and for coming and going. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard that on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out, as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. So Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arbar. Arbar was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? This section includes a division of the land and ends with a line, and the land had rest from war. We continue with the theme of how the land is part of identity and how we see ourselves. While ultimately God is the creator and owner of all that exists, we are charged with caring for the land as God's creation on earth. As we read through the violence and destruction of the conquering story, I find solace in the movement to rest. Now let's move to 1 Timothy 4-6. False asceticism. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will renounce the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Through the hypocrisy of liars, those consciences are shared with a hot iron. They forbid marriage and abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected, provided it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by God's word and by prayer. A good minister of Jesus Christ. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourishing the word on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane and foolish tales. Train yourself in good godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and suffer reproach, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice, devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this you will save both yourself and your hearers. Duties towards believers. Do not speak harshly to an older man, but speak to him as a father, to younger men as brothers, to older women as mothers, to younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. Honor widows who are really widows. If a widow has children or grandchildren, they should first learn their religious duty to their own family and make some repayments to their parents, for this is pleasing in God's sight. The real widow, left alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give these commands as well, so that they may be above reproach, and whoever does not provide for relatives, and especially for family members, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be on the list if she is not less than 60 years old and has been married only once. She must be well attested for her good works as one who has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the saints' feet, helped the afflicted, and devoted herself to doing good in every way. But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when their sensual desires alienate them from Christ, they want to marry, and so they incur condemnation for having violated their first pledge. Besides that, they learn to be idle, gadding about from house to house, and they are not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not say. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, and manage their households, so as to give the adversary no occasion to revile us. For some have already turned away to follow Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her assist them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it can assist those who are real widows. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the laborer deserves to be paid. Never accept any accusation against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elected angels, I warn you to keep these instructions without prejudice, doing nothing on the basis of partiality. Do not ordain anyone hastily and do not participate in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but take a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sin of some people are conspicuous and precede them to judgment, while the sins of others follow them there. So also good works are conspicuous, and even when they are not, they cannot remain hidden. Let all who are under the yoke of slavery regard their masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teachings may not be blasphemed. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful to them on the ground that they are brothers and sisters. Rather, they must serve them all the more, since those who benefit from their service are believers and beloved. False teaching and true riches. Teach and urge these duties. Whoever teaches otherwise and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that is accordance with godliness is conceited, understanding nothing, and has a morbid craving for controversy and for disputes about words. From these can come envy, dissension, slander, base suspicions, and wrangling among those who are depraved in mind and bereft of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Of course, there is a great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. The good fight of faith. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, it is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty. Not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Personal instruction and benediction. Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the profane chatter and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge by professing it with some have missed the mark as regards the faith. Grace be with you. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? As we reflect on this reading, I find myself emphasizing the guidance to not neglect the gifts that is in you. We are all placed on this earth with a purpose set by God. It is our task to listen for God's guidance and to persist in the task that was placed on our life. Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father, who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.